of you. Melanie, the kids, and I are just getting back from our trip. Spring break to Missouri. Yes, there's a couple Missouri people right down here. We went to Branson. We stayed in a hotel in that real hokey part of town, you know, in Branson with all the lights and all the. But we had such a great time in the parks and different things in Branson. And I'll tell you, my wife will tell you this. When we stay, I can stay on vacation for about 3 or 4 days, but then I'm like, I gotta get home, kind of thing. Anybody else like that? Thank you. Yeah, a few of you. Well, we had a wonderful time, and I wanna thank the men's ministry for pulling together and getting a lot of people together to help work on our storage building in the back. I'll tell you, I got home, and I went last night and took a look at the building. And I was amazed. I was absolutely amazed. God is going to be using that for our food ministry. I see great things happening in this place, and I'm excited. The Lord is meeting needs of people here, and our people are coming together and ministering, and it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, speaking of our food ministry, we have been just working and kind of walking with a family whose house burnt down. They're a family that actually were a part of coming to our food ministry. And we're still working with them. I did hear from him yesterday, and it looks like they have secured a place. And so, but we've heard that before. I mean, things have not worked out quite like they wanted them to, but be praying for them. They need to settle in and get the kids settled back into a home. So be praying for them. All right, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that as this message today that you have put on my heart goes out, Lord, we know that Scripture says your word will not return void. And Lord, I pray that it'll penetrate even the hardest of hearts here. I pray for that person who's never heard a clear message of the hope of Jesus Christ, that you will reach them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, in Scripture, in the Old Testament and New Testament, we are referred to many, many times as sheep. And so everybody go, bah, together with me. Ready? Bah. We are sheep, okay? And I don't know how that makes you feel, and I really don't even know how that makes me feel to know that I'm referred to as a sheep, because when I think about the behaviorisms of a sheep, I start to think, you know, they're not very smart. And in fact, there's a story that I read in Istanbul, Turkey, of some sheep herders who had taken their lunch break, and while they were on their lunch break, this is a true story, you can actually Google it and you'll find it, okay? But while they were on their lunch break, they noticed all of the sheep kind of herding in one direction. They stood up, they looked, they said, "What?" They were trying to figure out what was going on, and what was happening is 1,500 sheep were going over the edge of a cliff, sort of like this. And you'll see up on the picture here, sort of like this. Of the 1,500, all 1,500 went over a cliff, 45-foot high cliff. 400 fell to their death. The pile of the 400 was so deep that the other 1,100 were cushioned by the fall and they didn't die. So sheep, they don't have a sense of direction. They're prone to wander. They can't live on their own. You know, sheep need a shepherd. They cannot survive on their own. They don't live long in isolation. They don't live long off by themselves. So when I read this and I think, you know, Lord, why couldn't we be a herd of lions or a herd of bears? And I know that there's no such thing as a herd of lions. We're a herd of bears, but why couldn't we be something tough, something strong? But in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, it says, all we like sheep, all of us are like sheep, we have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. It's interesting, in Mark chapter 6, verse 34, it says, Jesus saw this large crowd as he stepped off of a boat, and it says that he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. So for the next 4 weeks or so, we're going to take a look and talk about identity. I've titled this message, Identity Thief. This has been sort of a buzzword in our culture. Identity politics, identity confusion, identity hysteria. But the question at the root of this is who or what determines my identity? Who or what determines your identity? And maybe a better way of putting that is, how do we determine who we are and what we were meant to be? And listen, there's a lot of pain and there's a lot of struggle in this topic of identity. And I choose to be sensitive to that fact and to be compassionate towards people who struggle with this. Some people feel so beaten down. And as it is in most cases, it really boils down to an issue of faith. Where are we placing our faith? Who or what are we putting our faith in? If we trust that Jesus is Creator and Lord and Savior, we will put our faith in Him. And we'll find our true identity in Christ. But if we are searching for our identity within ourselves, we're going to be the ones that sort of carves the path. And where all of the pain and the struggle comes from is when we sort of venture off on our own and we just sort of try to create for ourselves our own identity. And it's horribly confusing. It's painful. It's very frustrating trying to discover our identity on our own, out there searching, wondering. And the reason I'm doing this series is because I'm just concerned. I'm concerned about our world and this confusion that we're living in, and I'm concerned about Christians that I often see confused on this issue of identity. Because again, faith will determine the direction of your identity. Faith that you know best, or faith that He knows best, that God knows best. And when we speak about identity, let me share this. Here's what we're referring to: having a stable self-understanding. Identity is about knowing who I am fundamentally. It's a confident understanding of who you are. And it's durable, and it's settled, and it's secure. It's not all over the place. It's not searching and wondering and what if, and maybe, maybe, maybe. It's secure and stable and durable and everlasting. Soren Kierkegaard, he says this, there is a sickness in our world, and he wrote this about 100 years ago. That sickness is sin. Sin is fundamentally building your identity on anything but God. Fundamentally building your life on anything but God. We have been trained to build our identity on our work. We've been trained to build our identity on this material world and material things, on our hobbies, on our sexuality, on so many different things. And we'll cover that more, you know, this coming Wednesday. Some of you have seen this, but this coming Wednesday, I'm starting a new study, and it's called Freedom Seminar. I'm going to do this every year, And we're going to talk about, because there's so many people in the church that are saved, but not very many who have made peace with their past, who are healed from the issues of the past, and who are free, living free in Christ. And so I want to encourage you to come and be a part of that. But we'll dig into this more of how building your identity on anything but God, it's sin. It's sin. And here's the thing. In America, we're taught to discover the true you, you search your heart. You search inside. And inside yourself, you'll discover the real you. If you'll just search your feelings, and there's this song, it reminded me when I was just thinking on this and praying over this and studying this week. There's a song in the 1970s called "You Light Up My Life." Anybody remember that song? You light up my life. Okay. Or there's these words in that song, and you may not have caught these words, but I did. And it says, "It can't be wrong when it feels so right." And you see, the Bible has something different to say about that. And so what our world says is, our world says, search within, search your feelings and your impulses and your tendencies, embrace those feelings, and you will come to know who you are. And the Bible, again, it says something completely opposite. According to the Bible, nothing could be further from the truth. And here, the Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. You can't search within yourself. We are too sinful for that. And it tells us we have a sin nature. And so, in other words, if we're given the choice to do God's will or to do our own, we're going to always choose our own. That's our sin nature. And that sin nature, it has corrupted our judgment. And so as we make decisions and as we make plans and as we make new discoveries and different things and as we try to figure out who we are tainted by this sin nature, which has corrupted our judgment. And so we can't figure this out on our own. All of us are like sheep who have gone astray. Each of us have turned our own way. And apart from Christ, the Bible says we are hopelessly lost and hopelessly controlled by sin. And no matter how good or nice or wonderful we feel that we are, it's so funny that when I was lost, I really thought I was just basically a good person. I was just a good person. But the Bible says there is none good, no, not one. Really, the only one that was good that has ever touched foot on this earth is Jesus Christ. There is none good, no, not one. And so the flesh, our sin nature, it desires what is contrary to the Spirit of God. We learn this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. And they are in conflict with each other, the Spirit of God and our sin nature, our flesh, so that you are not able, Scripture says, to do what you want, what you really want. And we're like this lost sheep. We're like lost sheep without a shepherd. Blaise Pascal, he says this, "We not only know God through Jesus Christ, we can only truly know ourselves through Jesus Christ. We can only know life and death through Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, apart from Jesus, we cannot know the meaning of life, the meaning of death, God, or ourselves, apart from Him." So I want you to turn with me. We're going to look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Now, in John chapter 9, just to sort of put this in context, in John chapter 9, it drives home this point that Israel was led by a bunch of false shepherds. False shepherds were these corrupt leaders, spiritual leaders. And these false shepherds were drawing people from the Messiah. You see that in chapter 9, verse 39 through 41. And in chapter 10, Jesus makes known, he says, I am the good shepherd. And so he's trying to show, you want to see a true shepherd? Look to Jesus, right? And he contrasts himself with the false shepherds. And he refers to these false shepherds as thieves and robbers and strangers. And so the picture we have here as we go into chapter 10 is a flock of sheep in a sheep pen, okay? A flock of sheep in a sheep pen. And so it says in verse 1, truly, truly, and you're going to see this on the screen, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So what he's saying is the one that sneaks in, he does not come by way of the door. He is not the shepherd. He is a thief and a robber. So obviously the shepherd is the rightful leader of the sheep, and he will come through the door, right? So I want you to just picture this. It's nighttime, and you look out your window, and you see a man dressed in black climbing through a window of your neighbor's house, okay? What are you thinking? Okay, it's a thief. It's a robber. Why? He's not using the door. He doesn't have a key, right? And so what this is saying is, the thief will sneak in, but the shepherd, he makes himself known, and he has an entry door, and he comes in the right way. And so we continue. To him, the shepherd, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And so this shepherd, he has access. And the gatekeeper is sort of like an under-shepherd, right? Like a pastor of a church, an under-shepherd of God. And the gatekeeper knows him too. And so because the gatekeeper who's protecting the gate, he identifies, this is the true shepherd, and I will let him in. And the sheep know his voice. He comes in, and the sheep know his voice, and so does the proper gatekeeper. And this shepherd calls his sheep by name, and he leads them out. He leads them. I want you to get this picture. Verse 4, when he has brought out all of his own, remember, they belong to him, these sheep, all of his own, he goes before them. In other words, he leads in front of them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger, verse 5, they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now look at verse 6. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. In other words, he's using this analogy to teach them an important lesson, and they have no idea what he's saying. They don't understand what he's getting at. So Jesus again says to them, and here he is clarifying, okay? Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And Jesus, this is just a paraphrase, he's saying, let me cut this straight. I'm the door. I am the way of the sheep. Verse 8, all who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. So these strangers, these thieves, these robbers, they came, but the sheep of the shepherd did not listen to them. Why? Because they know the voice of the shepherd, right? Because they know the voice of the shepherd. In verse 9, I am the door, Jesus says. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And so he's saying, I'm going to make this simple. I'm the door. Those who enter by my way, by me, they will be saved. They will come and go as they please. They will live in freedom. Then look what he says. But there is a thief, and he is always at work trying to get in. Look at verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So there's another leader out there, a false shepherd, a thief, a stranger. And he wants to lead. He wants to lead you to destruction. He wants to steal from you and kill you and destroy you. But Jesus says, I've come to give you life abundantly. In verse 11, I am the good shepherd. He's cutting it clear. I am the door. I am the way, right? And now 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He sacrifices his life for the sheep. Think about Jesus and how he sacrificed his life for us. Look at verse 12. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Now he's talking about this hired hand. And this is one of those under shepherds, okay, that's in it for personal gain, right? He's supposed to be overseeing the sheep, but instead he's in it for his own personal gain. So when the wolf comes, he runs. He doesn't protect the sheep, and the sheep scatter. Verse 13, he flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. He's not a part of that family. He doesn't tend to and care for those sheep. He is a hired hand, simply a hired hand. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. Here he says it again. I know my own, and my own know me. There's nothing like it in all the universe. There's nothing more important than knowing God and being known by God. Verse 15, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep, then listen to what Jesus says, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. And now he's making this separation. There are the sheep who believe, there are the sheep who do not believe, and he says to the sheep who do not believe, you are not my sheep. In verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. There is no thief that will ever take them out of my hand. I know them, and I will protect them. Verse 29, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So let me draw your attention to a couple things in this passage. It's so rich. We could stay here for a month talking about this passage. But he refers to these strangers and these thieves and these robbers. They sneak in. And what's their objective? Well, it says it in chapter 10, verse 10. It tells us that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's their objective. Well, how are they going to do that? If you have no idea who you are, you won't know who to listen to. You won't know who to follow. You don't know who's deceiving you. You don't know where truth is. You don't know what's truth and what's a lie. It's very confusing, okay? And so when the thief comes in, the stranger comes in, the robber comes in, if you have no idea who you are and who you belong to, you will not be able to identify when the enemy is coming in to destroy you, to steal from you, and to kill you. And that's just how the thief is. He'll sneak in. And I'll tell you, the thief will capitalize on your weakness. The thief and the robbers will have a field day with you if you don't know who you are in Christ, if you don't know your identity. In that scenario, you are a lost sheep, a sheep without a shepherd. You are directionless. You are prone to wander. You will follow the herd right off a cliff in that scenario, the scenario where you're trying to carve your own path. And listen, this is truth number one, and you're going to see it on the screen. We are sheep, and he is our shepherd. We are sheep, and as believers, as followers of Christ, those who have put their trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, he is our shepherd. And Jesus says, I am the door. And I want you to think about like a game show. You know, behind door number one is your way. Behind door number two is God's way. And so Jesus says, I am the door. And what he's basically saying is, choose me. Choose me. My way. I am the door. In John 10:10, he continues and he says, I have come that they may have life more abundantly. In John 10:14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, as opposed to the thief and the robber. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way. And here's where we find identity. We find identity in him. Verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. It's an issue of knowing. We know him. And it's an issue of being known. We are known by him. And this is so significant. We've made it a part of our teaching here at Bear Creek that when you're in a life group here and you study God's word, we don't study God's word for information. We study God's word for transformation. And how we study God's word for transformation is we go, we open God's word, and we get to know him. We get to know ourselves, and we get to know others, because it's about knowing him and being known by him and others. And so our identity is about knowing Christ. That's what identity is about. In Acts chapter 17, verse 28, it says, for in him, speaking of Jesus, we live and move and have our being, for we are indeed his offspring. And we live, and we move, and we function, and we have our being in him, in him. That's identity. Our identity is found in him. It's secure in him. And here's the deal. When the sheep know the shepherd, when their identity is in him, they will easily be able to identify the stranger and the thief and the robber. When you know who you are in Christ, and the thief comes and begins to speak the lie into your ear, you will be able to identify that lie. Why? Because you know the good shepherd. It's something that Matt Town once showed me. He's like, you know, he says, Scott, if you want to know a counterfeit dollar bill or $100 bill, get to know the authentic $100 bill really well. Because when you know the authentic thing, the unauthentic thing sort of stands out, right? And so when we know him, and I love what Paul says. He says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to know him. I want to become intimately acquainted with who he is. And so let me just stop here and ask that question to you. Do you know him? Are you intimately acquainted with who Christ is? Not just what he's done, but the person of Jesus Christ and the works of Jesus Christ. Are you intimately acquainted with him? Do you know him? And when we know him, he protects us with his truth. He exposes the lies of the identity thieves. And next week we're going to talk about, we're going to take a look at Satan and how Satan feeds lies into our lives, because he's the ultimate identity thief. But when you know him, he protects you. He protects you with his truth, and no weapon formed against you will prosper. Amen? When our identity is in Christ, we not only know him, but we also hear him. We hear him. He says in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. When our identity is in Christ, he is our shepherd. We hear and we respond to his voice. We know his voice because we know him. We no longer listen to the voice of the thief and the voice of the robber, the voice of the world, the voice of our past, the voice of sin. We turn our ear to him. And so he says in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You hear that? My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. That's who my sheep are. And when our identity is in Christ, we follow him. And I like how he puts that. They will follow me. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This is a fundamental truth of what it means to follow Jesus. Deny self, follow him. Deny self, follow him. But I have needs. Deny self, follow him. Look, I have these issues in my life. Well, deny self, follow him. Look, my emotions are all stirred up. I feel like this is the way I want to go. My body tells me to do this. Deny self, follow him. But this is what I want. This is what I live for. Deny self, follow him. Trust him. Do you know him? Do you know his voice? Are you following him? Truth number two, his sheep know him, hear him, and follow him. And here's what happens when we know, hear, and follow the shepherd. Our identity is secure. Thieves and strangers will be easily identified. We will be able to pick them out. And that voice that's in our ear will be able to discern, is it his voice or is it the voice of a lie? Is it truth or is it a lie? We'll be able to discern. And listen, there are all sorts of identity thieves out there, and we're going to discover that. We're going to see that in the next several weeks. But the best way to discern what is counterfeit is to know what is genuine. Do you genuinely know? Do you genuinely hear? And do you genuinely follow Christ? Let's pray. Father, I pray for each person in this room. Can't help but think, Lord, there is maybe someone here who's been just living a religion, just caught up in a routine religion. I pray that you will deliver them from that today. There's a person in here, and they have no idea what this is all about, what this faith is all about. I pray that you'll speak to their hearts today, that they'll come to understand that this moment in time is not by accident. They can come to know their Creator, their Lord, and Savior today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.